Geiger, brought to you by JM Buzz 12 Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Nathan Forlina, can you believe that Steelers finish yesterday? That was absolutely insane, man.
Is that not the most Steelers thing of all time?
It really is.
They dominated that game for 59 minutes, 59 seconds.
Because that's going to put them in the playoffs, and that's going to keep Mike Tomlin around for another 10 freaking years.
19 winning seasons.
946-0435. This is Sports Central. Here's the plan for this week. I've had 15 people say, you know, what are you going to be on this week? So we're going to do today, tomorrow. We are not going to do Christmas Eve, obviously Christmas Day. We are going to come back on Friday, though. So I'm pretty sure I've never done this show the day after Christmas. I hope some of you decide to listen. My guess is you won't because you got other things going on. But here's why I decided to do it this year. Penn State plays Saturday. So, in the Pinstripe Bowl. So, I figure we at least have something to discuss the very next day. And then we will have a blue and white wrap-up Saturday. That game's at noon, which is awesome.
Fantastic. Love that.
Love it. Oh, my gosh. The number of... How many night games did we do this year? Three?
I think it was three.
We're rolling out of here at like 12:30 at night, for crying out loud.
Listen, I'm not a night owl. I think I've mentioned that a few times on this show. So it was a struggle. It was a struggle.
And when you got to drive
to Pittsburgh at 4 a.m.
I had to get out of here at 1 o'clock and drive back to a baseball tournament somewhere in PA. Okay. It was tough.
Well, you've done that for your career for how long now, going up and down?
You're okay.
For me, this was a rude awakening of some night hours that I don't usually see too often outside of New Year's. So
somebody just texted me, and I wasn't going to necessarily get into this, but how bad was that PSU Pitt game? Oh my God, did you see Pitt beat Penn State by 34 points yesterday in basketball?
I did not see that.
You didn't see that? Yeah, because that's
exactly. That's how irrelevant.
Hey, Nathan is usually pretty – I can ask about pretty much anything, and Nathan is on top of stuff. But that's how – look, I've talked a lot about Penn State basketball. I've always loved college basketball. I've always talked a lot about Penn State basketball. 80-46, man. 80-46. That is exactly how irrelevant Penn State basketball is.
34-point loss, you're telling me. Not even that. You put up 46 points.
46 points. Your in-state rival, the – in-state, there's I don't know how much of a rival, especially in basketball. I don't know that anybody even cares about that.
That's what I mean. Like, I couldn't tell you about Penn. I know there was a 5-star, I think, on their radar. I'm pretty sure Penn State basketball
was a Pat Kraft hire. We'll get into all that some other time when there's not anything going on in January. But that was a Pat Kraft hire. Mike Rhodes was a Pat Kraft hire.
Yeah.
So tell me what Pat Kraft has done. I mean, the Matt Campbell thing was good, but if he didn't pull Matt Campbell out of his rear the very last second, What would Pat Kraft have to hang his hat on, really?
Leaked audio that he sounded like he actually cared about. So, I mean, that's probably the only thing.
946-0435. We'll be here today, tomorrow, and Friday. And then we will have our blue and white wrap-up show on Saturday after Penn State loses to Clemson in the Pinstripe Bowl. I think Penn State's going to suck.
Is Catron still playing?
Apparently, Catron Allen has not opted out yet officially. I think it's probably a good move. Nick Singleton has already. Do I think Catron's going to play? Very, very limited.
That's what I was about to say. I think he might get special packages that maybe goal line or something
right.
like that.
I think it's absolutely moronic. I mean, I'm talking absolutely idiotic if Catron Allen plays in this bowl game. But these bowl games mean less than nothing. Less than nothing. I mean, so you can't you know, you can't accomplish anything here. You're going to get, my understanding is you're still going to get your NIL money anyway, whether guys play in bowl games or not. So if you're a running back and you're just going to, especially Catron Allen, you're just going to go take 30 more hits.
He's what, a second round pick right now, probably? Third round pick?
Probably third. I mean, he probably conceivably could help himself, but also he could take a shot in the shoulder and be out for 3 months. He could, because he's going to probably have more carries without Nick Singleton. He's going to have more action, and they would ask him to do even more. And he has 30 carries and gets a concussion. Well, there's almost nothing good that can come of him playing. So my gut tells me maybe they've asked him not to opt out publicly so that the other team at least has to prepare for you.
Yeah.
But cornerback A.J. Harris, no longer on the roster as of literally, I think, an hour ago. No longer on the roster. So he is gone. He's going to enter the transfer portal. That broke 30 minutes ago. So he's out, along with, Nicholas Singleton, a number of other guys. So I think the Penn State team that we see on Saturday is going to be bad. Now, I haven't followed Clemson.
Clemson's had some opt-outs.
Is Kate Klubnick playing?
Kate Klubnick is playing,
though. Okay, well,
as far as I'm aware. But my only thought with the Catron thing was, and again, I don't think it's smart for him to play this game whatsoever, but you are going up against NFL talent on the other side. Clemson still has NFL talent.
If they're playing.
I think some guys are playing. I think some guys opt out.
Sure.
Some guys are playing, though. So I guess that is maybe productive film that you could technically put out there. But I don't think the risk is worth the reward.
If
here.
You're a running back,
you're just going
to go take 30 more hits, you set up the possibility that you could hurt an ankle. Anything can happen. It's football. It's vicious.
But Catron is an old school guy.
He is. Well, that's great. It's great. And this is, people admire the loyalty, right?
Yeah.
Hey, congratulate. He's staying true to his team. If he breaks his ankle and it costs him $5 million, are you going to pay for him? Are you going to pay for his career? If what happened to him, Marcus Lattimore, the dude from South Carolina, 10 years ago, completely shredded his entire leg, ruined it, lost $20, $30 million in the process.
Yeah, Matt Corral he cost himself a football career.
Jake, is he playing? Is that guy?
Matt Corral? I think he literally was out of the league in 2 years. I think he went to like the XFL or whatever, the USFL, whatever it's called. Let me double check that, but he ended up falling to...
There's that Jake Butt guy, cost himself millions of dollars.
Yeah, he's doing all right now, though, so...
Yeah, but still. All right, 946-0435. Lots and lots going on. Steelers, crazy win. Was that a good thing? Because, again, another non-losing season for Mike Tomlin. Nothing has changed with the Steelers, although I do think that they're playing well. Now all they got to do is beat the Browns because the Ravens gift-wrapped them, basically the division yesterday, by blowing that to the Patriots. So all you got to do is beat Shedeur Sanders and the Browns, and you're in the playoffs. And then, quite frankly, everybody's going to be like, well, what a great job Mike Tomlin did. And I'm going to be like, let's see in the first round. I don't care what the Steelers do. They have to win a playoff game. If they don't win a playoff game, this season is a failure, and I'll still be sitting here saying Mike Tomlin should be fired. I don't care if they go 11-6. Which they could. I honestly do not care if they go 11-6. If they lose in the first round of the playoffs for the ninth consecutive year, I will be in here saying Mike Tomlin's got to go because there's no coach in American sports that can go 9 years without a playoff victory and survive the job. So I really don't care what this regular season is playing out. Am I wrong in
your
opinion?
Well, Bill Belichick literally didn't survive after 2 years. Yes, I think that if Tomlin does not win a playoff game, I think they have to mutually part ways.
They won't.
They won't.
Because he'll say, oh, look, I mean, it'll
be surprised
once
they
again.
Haven't had an extension already. Because
yeah, right. Yep.
But if you're the Steelers right now, you got to hope and pray you somehow draw the Chargers in the first round.
Can 11-6 look up? Can 11-6 put them in a different situation? Like, I mean,
because
we're talking about that they're locked in. Are we sure that can 11-6 get them like a 2?
I actually think it's already, they're going to be the fourth, because Jaguars are third seed at 11 wins, so and then 12.
What if they lose out?
12 wins for the.
Can they lose out?
I don't know how the tiebreakers would go right now.
Yeah.
Let me look at their schedule.
They
have the Colts and Titans. So if they lose out, I'd be stunned.
Jim, what's going on, Jim?
Hey, on that last call of the game.
Yeah.
If you looked at it, he pushed off.
He did.
It's clear as day. Offense passing.
It is
another point. another point was when he caught the ball, he was outside of the end zone. And they actually did stop him.
No,
he lateraled. He pitched it back.
Yeah,
Amon-Ra St. Brown pitched it back.
The penalty already happened.
Yes, so it wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
It wouldn't have mattered. But technically it was a touchdown.
They
there was no offensive pass interference.
The officials, they were ruling a touchdown, but the pass interference. And apparently some Steelers fans weren't aware that he actually lateraled the ball. Did you see that?
Yeah, he lateraled the ball. Yeah.
I know. There were some Steelers fans who weren't aware of that. They didn't
I don't know if his knee was down, though.
What happened
we never got an angle of the other side to see if his
they
knee
said was it was going to. But here, okay, look, I'm glad the Steelers won to a degree. Again, it depends on if they win in the playoffs. The one before that negated the touchdown, I do not think that was pass interference on the Lions. The little kind of pick play.
Darnell Washington had the same exact call on him. So if you're going to call it inconsistent.
I would agree that I'd say they're all stupid. I'd say all of those little plays happen on almost every play.
Unless you're extending your arms out. If you're just running a route and you rub into the cornerback, I don't know. I don't know if
it's. But this is where you and I, we do disagree on this a lot. You just accept it that this is just the way it is. I can still call it stupid.
Yeah, it is stupid.
If you're playing that in your backyard, you're going to do it.
Okay. Let me ask you this. So if you run that. Go, Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
What about the touchdown right before halftime?
Kenneth Gainwell, that was one of the best plays you've ever
seen. Hang on. I want to stay on the pass interference thing.
All right.
By the letter of the law. Okay, sure. But. It's another example of why the NFL is stupid. You've got this unbelievable game. Who decided the game, Nathan?
The refs.
Okay, is it by the absolute letter of the law, or do you let grown men playing an insanely fast game decide the game? To me, the NFL is its own worst enemy. It cannot get, look, as big as the NFL is, it cannot get out of its own way. And that's, I think people laugh at the NFL. I don't think people trust NFL officiating at all. I think they laugh
Nobody
at it. They
does.
Think it's a joke. And
until they start being accountable for their mess up calls, then things might change. But until that happens, it ain't going to change.
But, again.
But they're doing their job. That was the correct call.
That was the correct call by the letter of the law, just like the dropped ball that we talked about a couple weeks ago. That can't be the rule.
It cannot.
The rule, we talk about these rules committee people and what they're talking about and what they're doing. The NFL opens itself up to all of this criticism because they allow stupid rules to stay in place. That's what I'm getting at.
The pick play is fascinating. Yeah. I think if it naturally happens, I think it's fine, but it's hard to define what naturally happens. I don't even care.
Who the hell cares?
I don't
care if you run into my. I mean, look.
If you're running in and you shove a guy to the ground,
that's different.
That's what I'm saying. So if you extended your arms, we're both agreeing that if you just naturally run into somebody, then it shouldn't be pass interference. But you have to have the rule in place, though, because you can't have someone legitimately block the defender who's supposed to be on man to man coverage and somebody gets wide open. So you have to have the rule in place.
On that play, they ran into each other. They showed that plain as day.
It wasn't as plain as day. I mean, it might have been as plain as day in terms of what the rule says. Jim, what I'm telling you, need to listen to what I'm telling you. I think the rule is stupid. The rule itself is stupid. And that's why people are blasting the NFL all day today for basically feeling like the Lions got robbed here.
But this is my issue. It happened with both teams. Both the scenarios.
It's an apples to oranges comparison. One happens earlier in the game as one team
did it cost some points though.
As you're building a 20, what was the largest lead the Steelers had? 24-7, maybe?
It would have been 29.
It's different when it happens in the. Nothing matters compared to the last 20 seconds of a game, Nathan.
Yes.
When you say, well, it happened in the first half with Darnell Washington, what matters is when games are decided. This is how all decisions in sports come down to. It's when the game is decided. And when referees are deciding games in the last 10 seconds, I will sit here and tell you that your sport is stupid. Whether you want to say that Darnell Washington this or that, or this regular season, same regular season catch in the first quarter of week three, there are... different circumstances, different situations of importance. The NFL is worth billions, if not $1 trillion. and they're deciding games with old white slow men throwing yellow flags on the field to determine hundreds of millions of dollars with these idiot penalties. You see, that's all I'm saying, Jim.
Answer me one question. At the end of the game there, and since it was an offensive penalty, there was also a runoff on that penalty, too, Anchor.
I thought there would have been
a 10-second runoff because it was a running clock.
Yeah.
However, it was a touchdown, so it technically would not have been a runoff because the clock stops.
Yeah, and obviously with it being an offensive penalty, there's no extra untimed play. If it had been a defensive penalty, there would have been an I thought the ref did a pretty decent job of explaining what happened. It's a chaotic situation.
Yeah. Well, the ref did the wrong thing by first saying, it is a touchdown.
Right.
He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was trying to do there.
Yeah. All right. Jim, anything else, buddy?
Nope, that's it. If I don't talk to you before Christmas, have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you, buddy.
Hey,
Merry Christmas, Jim. Appreciate the call, as always. And again, look, you're going to hear me say this a lot. Just try to do the right thing. I think the NFL does the wrong thing by creating chaos on its own, instead of letting human beings play a human being game. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, but you have to have rules and regulations. You can't let just players do whatever out
there.
Would
you agree you can't have stupid rules and regulations? I'm just asking you to agree on
that. Yes, absolutely.
Because again, and this is, I bring this up all the time. This is an example of old person, young person, and this is why I like doing the show. Dude, in football, you just used to beat the holy F out of everybody.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter. And that's the way most people grew up watching football for 60 years until the last 10 or 15 years ago. When I sit here and tell you, and you might think this is ludicrous, when somebody sits here and tells you that Dan Marino could throw 75 touchdown passes today, why is that? Because you can't touch the quarterback and you can't touch receivers, and Dan Marino's the best guy that's ever lived at putting the ball on the money. He played in 1984. You could still crush receivers at that point. You could destroy receivers when they didn't have the ball. So rules do change. I'm saying not that you have to go back to that. Not to say that you can damn near assault a quarterback like they used to in the 70s. That was outrageous. But to not be able to breathe on a quarterback is more outrageous. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it, but I also understand that that's the person you're paying $60 million to, and you need to protect that person because it is the franchise.
It is the face of the league. That's the business. That's the business.
I'm not saying it's correct, and every call, every player should be officiated the exact same, but there is an emphasis on it whenever your star quarterback gets crushed, maybe half a second late from what 20 years ago would not have been a penalty to now is. I understand that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not saying it is right, but there is a business aspect to it. And the NFL is a business at the end of the day.
Sure. We really never got to have the one discussion I wanted to have last week because we got side-tailed into another part of the discussion. But when you lose Patrick Mahomes and Micah Parsons mm-hmm. within 30 minutes of each other for the rest of the season, that's two of the 10 faces of the league, two of the five faces of the league. That's not good for the league. So I do understand exactly what you're saying from a business standpoint. You need Patrick Mahomes out there. You need Micah Parsons out there. And so I get it, it's a brutal physical game, which again kind of segues back to what I'm saying about Catron Allen. He'd be a damn fool mm-hmm. to play a bowl game where you're risking injury at all.
Well, it's a pinstripe bowl, Corey. It's a pinstripe bowl.
But it just bothers me that football has quite frankly become a sissified sport. It's a sissified sport that was originally intended to be a vicious, brutal, violent sport. So I'm just curious, in 30 years, what football will look like to you. I'll be gone. In 30 years, when you're watching football at 52 years old, I'm curious how many other rules are at some point the quarterback is going to be wearing a flag or something close to it to where you don't even have to tackle him. You just get a hand on him and he's down automatically.
Know.
I'm joking
I
to
know.
A degree. But do you think Terry Bradshaw in 1976 could have ever envisioned what you cannot do with a quarterback now? If you tackle the guy and roll on him wrong, It's roughing the passer. It's the dumbest thing in the world. You think 1976 Terry Bradshaw, who's getting hit 4 seconds after he gets rid of the ball, would understand? So what I'm saying is, give it two or three more generations.
How sissified
do you, when a quarterback's making $125 million a year?
I don't know how much more it can go, though. I mean,
the quarterback can be wearing a flag, or you're not allowed to touch him, or it's like one hand touch, and you're down.
But you cannot give a player that type of different scenario, like different, because you got to change as a defender now. You got to change the entire way you play a quarterback compared to a running back, a receiver, or anybody else. So you can't. I don't think you can go that far. I think there'll be other rules in place still to try to make the game a little bit safer, but I think it's pretty much as dumbed down as it could be.
No,
right now.
I foresee a future of football that's 7-on-7. That's what I think football will become.
It could.
Into the future. I'm not sure 7-on-7, because that takes 8 players off the field at a time, and the unions would not go for that. Mm-hmm. But what 7-on-7 is nothing more than a skill showcase for your highly skilled people on offense, quarterback, receivers, and being able to cover guys. 7-on-7 is an electrifying, fun. I'm almost a little surprised it's not caught on more in this country.
I was just about to say, do you think people would like it, though?
I think they would, because you'd have tons of points.
I don't know.
I think in 7-on-7, you could end up having 75 to 73 kinds of games, lots of them.
I think whenever you take out the offensive line, and considering you won't have a running game really at that point, it's all going to be passing. Uh-huh. I think that's too drastic of a change to where people would not.
Sure. But what I'm telling you is, in my lifetime, football has already changed that much. To go from now to 7-on-7 is probably not a whole hell of a lot of difference than going from Terry Bradshaw in 1975 to this in 2025, where if you hit a quarterback and you roll on him wrong and you put a little bit more of your weight on him, it's a penalty. That's insane.
But is that in any other position besides a quarterback, though? That's the thing I would say. There's not another position that is treated like
that.
Yeah,
you can. You can't touch wide receivers, obviously, at all anymore. And the whole defense.
Well, during the route.
The whole defenseless catch.
I mean,
there are plays now where if you hit a receiver like too hard, you get a you get an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. You know, if you hit a guy too hard, even if it's not necessarily in the head, if it just looks too bad, Nathan, go watch VHS videos. These were Nebraska man's calling in.
Dick Lane,
guy,
boom,
some of you guys that remember these famous VHS tapes from the 70s and 80s that showed NFL's biggest hits. Every single one would be a penalty now.
Yeah.
Every single one.
They were literally clotheslining people.
They were
back
making
in the day.
Millions of dollars, maybe not millions, but tons of money on VHS tapes in the 80s showing what are today every single one illegal hits.
I know, it's crazy.
So what I'm saying is, the game has already changed in this 40 years to an unrecognizable product.
It's not unrecognizable. It's just, it's officiated differently.
If you're a quarterback and a wide receiver and a defensive back, it is not the same sport that was played 40 years ago. It's not.
It is the same sport. It's just a different set of rules.
Mm. All right, we got Nebraska, man. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple quick notes here. They just posted today on ESPN that Notre Dame and BYU has gone into a play-on contract with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby Petrino... They fired the offensive coordinator for North Carolina, so they're hiring Bob Petrino to go down there with Bill Belichick.
What a bleep show Belichick's got going on down there. I saw that with Petrino, and I'm like, what kind of crazy old man is this down there?
Yeah. Hey, I will say, Bill Belichick kind of, he turned it around towards the back half. They looked a lot better from
what him. Kind of crazy old man thinks that your solution is Bobby Petrino?
I'll tell you what, Corey, over the weekend, I am totally surprised. The Miami-Texas A&M game was the best game of the day. But for James Madison to score 34 points against Oregon. That's an eye-opening there for me.
Here's what we're going to do, because we've spent a lot of time on the NFL in this segment. We're going to talk the bowl games. I disagree with you on James Madison. I think that was meaningless, to be honest with you.
Backdoor cover, though.
They did cover the points spread, was 21. But once it got to 34-6, you have to remember, these are 20-year-old kids. I think Dan Lanning called off the dogs. Now, look, I think Oregon – they showed a lot of holes in the second half, really. You give up 34 points.
That's their second string guys.
But, I do think there was a whole lot of other things going on. Here's the thing, Nebraska men. We're going to spend probably the final 30 minutes of the show, and if you want to call back during our second discussion, because this weekend proved what an absolute fiasco college football is. I don't care that James Madison covered. That was not a watchable football game. Everybody I know following on social media that knows anything about college football was pointing out the difference in talent between these teams and how it was completely obvious in both games, both Tulane and James Madison. So to me, college football, they cannot allow this. This cannot be allowed.
Hey, Corey, can I say one quick thing before I go?
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout out to my nephew, Great Kit. His birthday's today, and I want to wish him a happy birthday. May he have many more in office. Hawks, he loves you.
He's the Penn State fan.
Yeah, he's the Penn State fan. Yeah, today's his birthday.
Does he brag a lot in your face, Nebraska man?
Corey, please. When Penn State games are over, he'll call me on my cell phone, and all you hear is.
That's pretty good. Do that again. I want to hear. Do that again. One more time. Go ahead. That's pretty darn good,
Nebraska, man. Nebraska's busted that out a couple times throughout the year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
That is pretty good, man. All right. Hey, if you want to call back a little bit later, we are going to have a good college football discussion, buddy. All right. We'll take one more here. Guy, what's going on, Guy?
Well, sitting back listening to you and Nate just reminds me of sitting in my recliner with my son in his recliner. I'm 60. I'm 60. He's 24, and he's saying about this. And I said, he gets tired of me complaining about the role I hate the most. But growing up watching football is the blindside block.
Right.
He's like, "Oh, Dad, you can't do that." I said, "Dude, the guy blocked him. What are you supposed to do? Say, yeah, go ahead and tackle him." Well, they're doing it for safety. I said, this is a grown man sport.
This is one of my favorite calls of the year. I reference it all the time that I like the dynamic that Nathan and I have, the wise, intelligent elder and the young, naive, not so intelligent. No, young.
Oh, that's not that part. That last
no,
part.
That was, I like the dynamic that we have because we have seen the world. And so for you to mention, Guy, did you say it was your who are the two people involved in this?
It's me and my 24-year-old son.
Because I think the arguments we end up having here are probably the same arguments that Guy and other people who have multiple generations are talking about. That's what makes it fun. I think Nathan looks at me sometimes like, you're just an idiot old man yelling about everything.
Well, yeah, that's what
I'm part of the club. But believe me, there are many of us out here, Nathan.
There's many Corey Geigers.
There's Guy, there's Nebraska. All these old geezers that call the show, you think they're agreeing with you?
Nah, 90% of the time, probably not.
All the young people, you think they're agreeing with me?
Nah, probably
not. No, exactly. That's the beauty of it's all your perspective. And this is what I bring up all the time. Again, watching Dan Marino throw 48 touchdown passes in 1984. This is like this would be like somebody coming out and averaging 64 points a game in an NBA game. To see that then under those rules, and then to see the way the rules have been changed, the NFL can be the most popular sport in this country. That doesn't mean that people have to like all parts of it.
Well, I agree. And you said back, you always reference Dan Marino. I always tell with my son it was Eric Coryell and Dan Fouts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good discussion. I watch those guys a lot. Dan Fouts was amazing.
And then with The Greatest Show on Turf, they had a little bit of the new rules, but geez, I mean, the run and shoot and stuff. I mean, nowadays they would just be lighting things up because you couldn't touch, you wouldn't be able to touch Marino. You couldn't touch Fouts. You couldn't. And then Warren Moon was just a statue standing back there with the run and shoot.
Since you mentioned Air Coryell, I get to mention the San Diego Chargers.
That's right.
Because there have been a couple. Yes, that's right. There's been a couple times, more than a couple times, where I call them the Redskins, and a few times where I've called them the San Diego Chargers. Nathan, those were the San Diego Chargers. But not ever the hell what they are now, the Los Angeles Chargers of Anaheim, California, United States of America Chargers. They were the San Diego Chargers, damn it.
San Diego Chargers.
with the baby blues.
Oh, that was good stuff.
I will play devil's advocate, though. I don't know how good these offense translate with the way that these athletes are nowadays. If you plop them in, I don't know, Corey.
Well, no, you can't bring a player from the 80s into today
without all the training,
have you ever seen pictures of baseball players? Guy, you ever seen pictures of Major League Baseball players from the 70s or 80s?
Well, in the off season. They had an off season.
They had an off season. They were skinny.
They had to get into shape.
They were skinny. They were bean poles. Now, my 13-year-old son, some of you might get tired of me talking about my kid. I will brag like crazy on this. My 13-year-old son, we get up 3 or 4 times a week at 5:30 in the morning before school to go to the Y to work out during our youth baseball off season. Those guys back in the 70s and 80s, man, they didn't work out during the offseason. They didn't lift weights. Baseball players didn't lift weights probably till 30 years ago.
They sat around and drank beer all the time. Yeah. That's all they did.
Tell Nate, back in the days with football, guys would come into football 20, 25 pounds overweight.
Yep.
Training camp, the 6 weeks they used to have with the preseason, 6 games there, they used that to get into shape.
That's exactly right. Nowadays, and Nate, to Nathan's point, thanks for the call, guy. To Nathan's point, no, you couldn't bring any player from the 80s and throw them in today. Everybody's faster. You got 40 years of human evolution. Guys are a little bit faster. They're way, way stronger because of the weightlifting and because of the year-round competition.
And just the way the game's played, the schemes are different. It'd be so difficult, like, trying to – for Dan Marino, I'm not saying he couldn't do it, but it would take time to adjust.
You're saying he couldn't do it.
I am not saying that at all.
I think that's what I'm hearing.
I'm saying it might take 8 games for Dan Marino to finally figure out how to. I mean, it took Mahomes until probably 3 or 4 years ago to really understand an NFL defense. It takes players a lot longer now to understand
that's
NFL defenses.
That's my big problem with the way they evaluate quarterbacks. They give up on quarterbacks before they've even done anything. They give up on quarterbacks any year.
Look at Sam Darnold right now. Sam Darnold now is number 1 team. I would say Baker Mayfield, but they've completely fallen apart.
That. All right. Yeah. We've got a great college football discussion here about the playoff, James Madison, Tulane. I got a lot of thoughts about this stuff.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 50 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Penn State football is going bowling and taking on Clemson in the Big Apple. And Grubco Busing has all your transportation needs covered. Head to legendary Yankee Stadium on Saturday, December 27th for the Pinstripe Bowl on one of Grubco's charter buses for only $300. And you'll receive a round-trip travel ticket and a ticket to the game to cheer on your Nittany Lions. Or if you already have a ticket, let Grubco Busing do the driving for you for only $95. Buses leave from Huntington at 3 a.m. and State College at 3:40 a.m. Drop-off is near Yankee Stadium, allowing plenty of time. Time for pregame fun. Call 814-907-0518 to book your day trip for the Pinstripe Bowl today. That is 814-907-0518. Check out their website, grubcobusing.com, to see all their upcoming trips and tours, including Nashville, Salem, Mass., Sight and Sound, Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, Dutch Apple Theater, and so much more. Private trips are available as well. Traveling is easy because Grubco Busing has got you covered. Don't miss out on these awesome events. Give Grubco Busing a call today at 814-907-0518.
If You're one of the millions of Americans behind on your taxes. If you're afraid to open your mail because IRS collection letters could be coming, listen carefully. The IRS is cracking down, taking paychecks, freezing bank accounts, revoking passports. That's a fact. But here's what most people don't know. There are official tax relief programs designed to help struggling taxpayers. Programs that could save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Optima's award-winning team will fight to protect your paycheck, your passport, and your property. Their tax attorneys and licensed tax professionals will work tirelessly to get you the best deal possible with the IRS. Every day, penalties and interest keep piling up, so don't wait. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Get a great deal on select Kubota construction equipment featuring durable Kubota engines. More comfort, more productivity, more get it done right. Right now, write it off a lot and write it off your taxes for zero down, 0% APR for up to 36 months, or save up to $4,500. Now through December 31st. Subject to credit approval. Consult your tax advisor. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full details.
Write it off your taxes at McCoy's Lawn and Garden, Route 36 in Roaring Spring.
Voted hometown favorite, ARC Federal Credit Union is proud to support our community. With youth accounts, student loans, annual scholarships, and business loans tailored just for you. With over 200 five-star Google reviews and a commitment to local youth sports, ARC is the credit union that believes in you and your future. Visit arcfcu.org today. Your hometown credit union, where community comes first.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. Good discussion there in the first segment. If you want to join us, talk football, 946-0435. Again, we will be on the air today, tomorrow, and Friday. We will preview the Penn State Pinstripe Bowl against Clemson. And get this deal, good deal here. Penn State football is going bowling and taking on Clemson in the Big Apple, and Grubco Busing has all your transportation needs covered. Head to legendary Yankee Stadium on Saturday, December 27th for the Pinstripe Bowl on one of Grubco's charter buses. For only $300, you will receive a round-trip travel ticket and a ticket to the Pinstripe Bowl to cheer on your Nittany Lions. Or if you already have a ticket, this is key here, let Grubco Busing do the driving for $95. Buses leave from Huntingdon at 3 a.m. and State College at 3:45 a.m. Drop-off is near Yankee Stadium. That's important, so you won't have to deal with a whole lot of walking or anything once you get to the game, allowing plenty of time for pregame festivities. Call 814-907-0518 to book your day trip to the Pinstripe Bowl today. That is 814-907-0518. Check out their website at grubcobusing.com to see all of their upcoming trips and tours, including Nashville, Salem, Massachusetts, Sight and Sound, Ark Encounter, and Creation Museum, Dutch Apple Theater, and much more. Private trips are available as well. Traveling is easy because Grubco Busing has got you covered. Don't miss out on these awesome events. Give Grubco Busing a call today at 814-907-0518. Somebody mentioned in the first segment, Oregon and James Madison. And you see the final score, and your tendency might be to kind of say, hey, boy, good old James Madison. They showed well for themselves. Did real well, gave Oregon a battle, scored 34 points, 51-34, covered the point spread. Now, look, I'll be perfectly honest. I didn't have any money bet on the game. I knew what the point spread was because we talked about the 21's a lot, man, for this reason. You can be destroying somebody and not cover a 21-point spread for whatever reason. You stop playing, which is what happened to Oregon. They completely stopped playing that football game. You're putting in subs. You got to rest everybody because you're in a playoff now. And for Oregon to win a championship, let's see, Oregon is, let me see how many games they've played. They have played
12.
13 well, now. 13,
yeah, 13.
And so for them to win a championship, they've got to play three more games. So for Oregon to play for the national, they got to play 16 games. And part of this is you got to, if you're up 34-6 at the half, you know, you rest your starters, and then the final score is 51-34, and people are like, boy, the little guy there played well. No, they didn't. They didn't.
They're down 34-6 at halftime.
I argue and push back. The score looks good, and they can feel good about it themselves. But what happened to Oregon and James Madison, what happened with Tulane and Ole Miss, that was, what, 41-10?
The Tulane one was horrible. Tulane's bad.
This one was worse. It should have been 40. It should have been 40. Oregon completely stopped playing.
I think more people expect James Madison not even do anything against Oregon. Like, people maybe thought, like, Tulane of the turmoil that was going on there. Maybe. And then there was some injuries, too. Trinidad got a little banged up. Keewon Lacy got banged up. There was a thought maybe, hey, you know, Tulane could maybe put up some points and make this an actual game. No, that was not the case at all. They got steamrolled.
Yeah, 41. So, look, you've got 12 teams. I'm really good at these math numbers. Two of your 12 teams had no business being anywhere near your playoff. That is 16.7% of your playoff. 16.7% of your playoff.
16.6.
Was it 6666666?
Repeating.
I'm rounding up. Thank you very much. How many numbers can you do for pi? I've only been able to do a few, 3.1416 or 159, I think. But some people can do pi out to like thousands of numbers.
Boy, my friend back in the day could do like probably 50, 60
numbers. That's impressive.
I can do 3.14, and that's about
You are correct. 2 out of 12 is 16.66.
I just want to make sure we were correct.
No, you wanted to correct me, and that's okay. You wanted to be an a-hole over, and that's perfect.
Listen, I got to take the shots when
You're
I know.
That's fine. I applaud it. I think that's really good. I always knew, because baseball comes down to one out of one for eight is 125, one for seven is 143, one for six is 167, and then basically you're just doing multiples of that. Yeah, right. Six for 36 is a 167 batting average because it's one for six. So, but when you allow two of your 12 playoff teams to be from these crap group of five conferences, I do not know of any sport. Like, I'm griping about NFL rules and refs. I don't know of a single sport in this country that is stupider than college football. I think college football is a completely moronic, idiotic sport right now. And this includes the fact that nobody has any idea how to operate the money, the NIL, the portal, the chaos, all these players coming and going. I think college football, quite frankly, is the stupidest sport that's ever existed. Right now, could they fix it? Could they get a commissioner in, and could they establish a whole bunch of rules? But it's so stupid because what they did, and I will give James Franklin credit. I've criticized James Franklin a good bit over the past couple months, but James talked about this 7-8 years ago when he said, college football, what we do is we jump in creating these rules and we don't give any thought to the repercussions of how things might happen. James talked about this for various scenarios for years. And this is exactly what they do. They jump in, let's just have an NIL, let's just have a transfer portal, anybody can do anything, whatever the hell they want. And what ends up happening? You get chaos altogether. And then you have these conferences, and you got to feel like you let the little guy in. I'll say I am completely and unequivocally 100% opposed to having any single group of five team in a playoff unless they actually prove it. If James Madison had beaten Oregon or beaten, you know, a Texas A&M and a Michigan during the regular season, and they clearly are one of the 12 best teams, that's fine.
I was about to say, that's what happens when you beat a team of that magnitude. You're in the top 12.
Yeah, you're in the top 12 automatically. But I am completely opposed, and again, now, if there were 16 teams, okay, now it's 1 out of 8. That's 12.5%. 12.50000, because that's an even number. Yes. But I'm completely opposed to having these little guys have a seat at the table basically for DEI. These are DEI hires. That's what these are, that you're DEIing, to, allowing the little guy a spot.
So I will be the first one to admit, I think I've said this on the show probably months ago, probably a year ago, whenever we were talking about this last year. I was in favor of giving, you know, the representation of a group of five team a spot.
A team.
But okay, this was the scenario that played out this year with the Duke winning the ACC at 8-5. Mm-hmm. So do I think James Madison's a better choice over Duke this year? I do. I think if you go 12-1, no matter what.
You can't have these teams in over Notre Dame.
You can't.
You can't.
No.
You can't.
So Notre Dame joined a conference.
If I asked you, right, look, I'll bitch as much as anybody about Notre Dame. They made their bed. They got to deal with it. But Notre Dame, to me, is one of the four, five, six best teams in the country right now.
Yes.
I think if you put Notre Dame in this tournament, there's a pretty decent chance they could win it or at least go a long way. So you can't have a tournament with JMU and Tulane in there. If you want one, okay.
That's where everybody thought was going to happen.
Right.
It was going to be one, because no one expected the ACC champion to be 8-5. No one expected it.
Right.
So, and like I said, I would be the first to admit it. 3 months ago, and a year and 3 months ago, I was on the fact that we should, you know, let these schools have a chance maybe to upset. I am completely out on it now. I've changed my complete 180. No more.
No teams unless they
unless you earn the top 12. Why are you in the playoffs? Why are you in the playoffs?
What changed your mind then?
I think was back-to-back years of these teams putting up no fight. I really think that was it. I think these teams were
SMU and Boise last year. Anybody else?
No, SMU earned their way technically. They were not large,
sure.
So it would have been Clemson getting in, which they actually put up a fight against Texas. So, but Boise State was the other team, which they were a top 12 team, so they would have fit the mold. And
they got a four seed for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, they were, I think, ranked seventh. I think they went 12-0. They were ranked seventh or something like that. Boosted up to the four. So in that scenario, they should be the seventh seed, and they deserve a spot in the college football playoffs because that's where the committee puts them. But this year, you have Tulane, which was, what, 20th, I want to say, 19th, something like that. And then JMU, which was maybe 21st or something. I forget the exact numbers. But they got propelled into this tournament because of the stupid rules of allowing five conference champions in. From now on, there shouldn't be any conference champions guaranteed. Because, number one, if you're in the Big Ten, if you're in the – unless a chaos scenario like the ACC happened this year with Duke, the four main conferences are still going to be represented by their conference champions – 90% of the time. I would say there's probably a 50% chance a group of five team is represented because they go 12-13-0.
Yeah, there's one. Again, we're talking one.
Yes, one. We're not going to have two.
If there's one JMU or Tulane, that's one. But when you have two and they're getting completely destroyed like that on one, it's just a terrible day.
It looked horrible.
It looked really bad.
I mean, I literally, the second the Miami Texas A&M game ended, I switched the channel over to, well, I guess it wasn't all the time, but I knew I was going to be watching NFL football that night.
Yeah,
because
so there's nothing.
There was nothing.
You give no reason. All right, Clarkster, I got to take one more break. If you want to hang on, we'll get to you in a couple minutes.
Notching five wins on the season, Shane Van Gisbergen is your 2025 NASCAR Cup Series Rookie of the Year.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed my racing a lot this year and building up with the team. And yeah, as you said, the second half of the year, we improved a lot. So I think it was just progression. Glimpses, I guess, early on, but starting to put races together and the speed got better. And I think it was just progression. I think it's been awesome. I've really enjoyed it. And yeah, the wins have been great. That's more than we probably ever hoped for. But yeah, getting competitive on the ovals has been a plus, and I feel like we'll have some good momentum into next year. Like, our team isn't changing much on the 88 car, so pretty cool. Yeah, like I said before, I felt like the cars are so different to last year. I felt like I was starting again, like the Xfinity cars don't really cross over. So yeah, I felt like all my experience was at a pretty low level again, and everyone's just so good in the Cup Series. I knew it would be difficult, but it was really, really tough at the start. So yeah, it wasn't a shock, but we had to knuckle down pretty hard. Yeah, that's what I hoped it would be. Yeah, and then I've enjoyed my racing more than I thought, and I didn't know what it would be like doing the same thing every single weekend. I was used to trying different series and different disciplines, really, and yeah, doing the same thing all year, I wasn't sure how I'd find it, and yeah, I've really liked it. And I like the challenges, I like how the tracks vary through the year, you're not doing the same thing all the time, and yeah, I've really enjoyed myself here.
You're on the final lap.
Financial Group is not a law firm.
Ask yourself this question. Is it really worth holding on to that timeshare that you know you need to get rid of? Here's the truth. The average maintenance fee just went up over 17%. That could have been 117%, and there's nothing you can do about it. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check for annual maintenance and assessment fees. I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. For 15 years, I've helped over 50,000 families cancel their timeshare. Not sell it, not transfer it, cancel it. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment and your maintenance fees would never go up? That's a lie. Are you ready to get rid of your timeshare once and for all? Simply call us and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit that explains all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your timeshare exit kit. 800-939-2525. That's 800-939-2525. 800-939-2525.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 50 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, Andrea, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, sorry we had to make you wait on the line there, Clarkster. What's going on, buddy?
Okay, flag football is coming up in the Olympics in 2028. That'll be the 30-year march with the NFL, moving to 7-on-7 or 8-on-8 football. And you'll get rid of field goals. You'll get touchdowns will be either 1 point or 7 points. We're projecting out 30 years from now, what you were talking about before. It's going to move that way. You can see it happen from a lot of reasons.
One thing we've not talked about yet is the concussions, which are still a problem. They're still a major problem.
Yes.
And the league still tries to hide it. And they still, they got to go into protocol. And then all of a sudden the quarterback's back on the field 2 plays later. Give me a break. I cannot believe that they've got that situation under control whatsoever.
Well, okay, moving on to colleges now. Look what's happened to in college basketball. It originally was, I don't know how many were in the tournament.
16.
It went to like 23. It went to 32 and different things like that. So why not? It's going to probably happen with football. You can see a movement to 16. It's going to give you more programming.
16 is going to happen within 2 to 3 years. I wonder what the cap is. I really hope it's not 24. If it's 24, my God, man.
Well, wait a minute. Now, on the flip side to this, colleges are not coming to realize that they've been told that these are basically employees. They don't want to deal with contracts. They don't want to deal with the perception that what this is going to throw out about them and what they're producing and what they're there for. So that's the battle that's going on in the background here, because you basically can go to 3 or 4 schools in a 4 or 5 year period. I mean, and it's at the behest of the player to do this. It's such a mess that they have out there because of the courts. The courts have thrown this out there, and they're looking at it as if it's a major league. So I see problems down the road with college sports.
I'd say this.
And we haven't dealt with the equity part of it.
As the courts get more and more involved in this, we'll kind of mention this. How long, Nathan, do you think it is before college football players and basketball players, especially, are considered employees? Give me a year. Give me a number of years.
5 years.
I would say 5 years as well. I don't think that the sport can move forward until you have some level of labor negotiations, collective bargaining, all that, and you can't have collective bargaining if they're not employees. So what about you, Clarkson? How many years before they're deemed employees?
Maybe a year or two sooner than that.
3 years? I can see that.
3 to 4 years, something like that, because they can't plan.
So then I'll ask everybody this. What is it, Nathan Forlina? Why do you like Penn State? What is it about Penn State that you like?
What is it about?
About being a fan. What is it about Penn State that you are a fan of?
In the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean,
proximity.
Proximity. I mean, you grew up your family tradition. I mean, that's what it is.
When and we're already kind of close to this, but when 80% of the players on the team change every year, why would you be a Penn State fan or a fan of anybody? What are you a fan of? I know they always say you're a fan of the laundry, that kind of thing, but that's what I push back on. Why are you a fan of the laundry? What difference does it make? When teams are changing players, 80% of their players every year or two, what is there to be a fan of?
What's there a fan of to be in any sport then? Because there's so much movement across any single sport now.
Hey,
well, they're basically
that's why I'm not.
NFL
franchise. I think you just cracked the chest of who Corey Geiger is right there. That's why I'm not a fan of anybody. F them all. I don't care. To hell with them all. Whoever your team is, I don't care. Whoever you think my team is, I don't care. I don't know any of these guys. They ain't paying my bills. They're going to take the best money they can get next year and the next year, and the coach is going to take the best money he can get. What is the whole point of being a sports fan? What are you rooting for?
You just root for your team for the love of it, tradition. That's what you root
for. Well, because it carries the name of your state, and it brings something onto you. And if you've gone to that school, too.
But I'm not anywhere near as old as you because you're ancient. But we used to have guys that actually stayed on our teams for 6 or 8 or 10 or 15 years. Ryan Sandberg played for the Cubs forever. Tony Gwynn played for the Padres forever. There will be some. But not in college. Hardly any. I mean, you might have 10, 15% in college. I got to take a break here. We'll finish this up on the other side. But college, with all of this nonsense, you're literally just rooting for a revolving door of human beings.
Cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 50 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Penn State football is going bowling and taking on Clemson in the Big Apple. And Grubco Busing has all your transportation needs covered. Head to legendary Yankee Stadium on Saturday, December 27th for the Pinstripe Bowl on one of Grubco's charter buses for only $300. And you'll receive a round-trip travel ticket and a ticket to the game to cheer on your Nittany Lions. Or if you already have a ticket, let Grubco Busing do the driving for you for only $95. Buses leave from Huntington at 3 a.m. and State College at 3:40 a.m. Drop-off is near Yankee Stadium, allowing plenty of time for pregame fun. Call 814-907-0518 to book your day trip for the Pinstripe Bowl today. That is 814-907-0518. Check out their website, grubcobusing.com, to see all their upcoming trips and tours, including Nashville, Salem, Mass., Sight and Sound, Ark Encounter and Creation Museum, Dutch Apple Theater, and so much more. Private trips are available as well. Traveling is easy because Grubco Busing has got you covered. Don't miss out on these awesome events. Give Grubco Busing a call today at 814-907-0518.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse.
Don't get stranded on the way to Grandma's house this holiday season. At Central PA Truck, Auto, and Tire Service, they'll make sure that your vehicle is in top running order for you and your family. Why? Because they have family, too. And they understand how important it is to keep your family safe. Call Central PA Truck, Auto, and Tire Service today. 212-8200. That's 212-8200. And they will get you to Grandma's safe and sound.
Whoa, boss. How did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Find out more today at High Street Gingrich Insurance Agency, Altoona.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
All righty, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, for all their support of our little program. Programming note here once again, we will be on tomorrow, no show Wednesday or Thursday with the holidays, and we'll be back on Friday, and then the blue-white wrap-up on Saturday. So, you ready to open some Christmas presents here in a couple days?
I'm ready. I cannot wait. So it should be fun right around the corner. So
I ordered my own Christmas present, and I didn't order it in time, so it won't be here until... So I don't... You know, my wife will get me a couple, like, little funky things to open up. But the Christmas present I ordered for myself, I was too late.
What is it?
It's a really nice... Well, what do you think? It's a really baseball shirt for our local travel organization, of which I wear pretty much every day.
I was about to say, I've seen you wear that sweatshirt maybe 80. Let's do some numbers here.
Not 80
Four
days
out of five,
in a row.
80%.
There you go. Have a good night, everybody. 2.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.
Hank is WKMC.